Hola Madridistas and Athletic Club supporters for the preview of the upcoming top of the table clash in La Liga at the Bernabeu coming soon. And it just happens right before each of the teams gear up to go to their respective cup competitions, you know. For Athletic Club, it's the Copa del Rey final. For us, it's the showdown at Bernabeu against Man City. But before we get into all of that, today's episode is actually sponsored by Manscaped, the pioneers in male grooming and all things nice for men. So if you're looking to invest in a quality pair of nail clippers, nose trimmers, or ball shavers, look no further than manscaped.com. It's a great way to help our channel and support us. So if you use the code LBR20 at checkout, you get 20% off and free shipping. That's LBR20 at manscaped.com. And joining me today is, you know, for this preview is the bread and butter of this channel, Farouk. And we have a very special guest, Ittore, from the Pentland Club based in London. It's the biggest peña for Athletic Club outside of Spain, I believe. So let's go with you first, Ittore. How are you doing? And what were you up to?
Fine. This is Ittore calling from London. Really looking forward to the game on Sunday, but mainly the focus for all the Athletic supporters is the game that we have the following week, which is the final of the Copa del Rey against Mallorca on Saturday.
Absolutely. And did you expect to actually get to the final? I know Athletic Club are always there. They always do well at the Copa del Rey, but in the final, none of the bigger teams are there.
So we've been to three finals in the last 5 years. So it is not a surprise to get to the final. On the way to the final, the biggest team we've beaten is Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. So for us, the cup it has got some specific importance, and we're a club that we run on our philosophy and on our heart, and for us this competition is the one that we really want to win. Obviously, Champions League will be very welcome, La Liga will be very welcome, but I don't think we'll do much better than finish fourth. So looking forward to it. Over to you.
Absolutely. And how about you, Farouk? How did the international break go for you? Did you watch any of the games? Or were you just chilling in Arizona?
Yeah, man. I didn't watch any of the games, honestly, but I caught some highlights, you know, here and there. Actually, the time difference, and it's actually been a shock for me. Like, you know, it's been a week plus, and I'm not used to the shitty time difference thing. But yeah, man, it's been quite interesting, you know, seeing different things, talking to different people. And it was good that it was at the international break, so it kind of like, you know, merged together with the break. Like, yeah, it's international football. Like, who really cares about that? You know, like, yeah, we're back to our bread and butter for the, you know, the weekly events.
So where are you, Farouk? Where are you based?
Actually, I'm based in Milan, but right now I'm in Arizona.
Ah, okay. Nice place to go. Nice and hot.
Yeah.
Awful weather in London this week. Awful weather. Pretty windy and rainy.
I can imagine. Actually, no, normally, so like I'm in Tucson in Arizona, and normally like it's the middle of a desert, you know. It's usually quite hot, but like unfortunately, the time I come, it starts to get rainy and cold, you know, like, and you're basically unable to do a lot of shit. So yeah, it is what it is, unfortunately.
Nice, guys. Nice talking about the weather, but yeah, it's always shitty and hot in India. So let's get into the preview, I guess. But before we do that, Ittore, like, I wanted to ask you, like, you were there from the start. You're one of the senior members at the Pentland Club.
Yeah, I'm one of the founding members. It was a good friend who, you know, his name is Gaiska in Basco, Salvador in Spanish. He's sort of a Mexican from Basque descent. And he and myself and some of the bunch of people started the club about 10 years ago. And it's gone from strength to strength. So loads of Basque people live in Bilbao through work or studying or passing by. And it wasn't difficult to find a few supporters, expats from Bilbao living here. But then we noticed that people, English people that really love football, we attracted them in a very special way. I don't know why. Some people that had never seen the team before, had never been to the city before, suddenly they became Athletic fans. And sort of recently we had some communication from someone from Korea and Japan, all over the world. I think that the unique selling point of Athletic is that they have always played with local players. And that has caused some sentiment. That's something that people say, oh, how can you manage, you know, in this nowadays, in these multi-million pound signings or multi-million dollar signings of players all over the world, and you have managed to stay loyal to your philosophy of having local players and still never been relegated, and that's the case. We are the only team together with Real Madrid and Barcelona who always played in the top division, and will hopefully will keep the same for the next 125 years. By the way, this year is our 125th anniversary of the club, since it was founded in 1898.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of celebrations over at the Peña. Like you said, initially I thought it was just Basque people or people who spoke Basque or initially from the region who were who get to be part of your Peña. But then looks like anyone can join, even if I were to walk in.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So we are an open bunch. In principle, it was just people who have got some kind of affinity towards the club, supporters. But we never thought that it would attract so many British people into the Peña. And we've got a WhatsApp group, and start with all the communications were in Spanish. But nowadays, a good amount of people don't speak any Spanish from the Peña, so we have to communicate in English so everybody understands.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we keep getting new members all the time, and new and more hits in sort of like all the social media and stuff. So yeah, very pleased with how it's going.
Absolutely, man. And you mentioned you were part of two Peña, so the second Peña is one that's for all.
The second Peña, it was called AMZ, which is the initials for Athletic Mundo Ansear in Basque, which means in English Athletic Across the World. And sort of we formed that Peña back in the days where internet didn't exist, so difficult. Now it's really quite easy to do it, but difficult in those days. And then the Peña was official when we started, but it wasn't easy at the time to just collect the subs and to get everybody together. But it's restarting again, that one. So yeah, hello to them if they are watching. Yeah,
absolutely. Hopefully your people will also be here in the chat. So, but the next topic that you actually wanted to discuss with us was the history of the names of both of our clubs. You thought I'd like take it away. Tell us about
Athletic is. Started, as I said, back in 1890. There was two different clubs. It was Athletic Club and then Bilbao Football Club. Only a few years later, they united one single name, calling Athletic Club. As you probably know, we had a fascist dictatorship in Spain from 1936 till 1977, and we had a guy called Franco, which is sort of the equivalent to Hitler or Putin,
or Mussolini,
correct. And he didn't like anything that didn't sound Spanish, so he changed the name of Athletic to Atletico. Just to give the Spanish translation of the name. So in those years that we suffered the dictatorship, we were called Atletico Bilbao. As soon as democracy came, first thing we did was change the name back to Athletic Club, and that's how we like to be called. we do understand that some people don't call us Athletic Club, they call us Bilbao. It was in the news, or it was quite prominent recently when we played Atletico Madrid in La Copa, right? And Cholo Simeone really enjoyed calling us Bilbao, knowing that we don't really like, we are actually hated. So when people say Bilbao, so, you know, you can say, you can call us Bilbao because you don't have the knowledge, or, you know, that's how it's happened in your family. But if you're a football professional in the Spanish league for as many years as Simeone, you should really know how the club is called. So he did it with the intention of hurting us, and we beat them in the cup, so we had last laugh. We beat them home and away, so that was a good victory in the semi-finals.
Absolutely, it's always fun to, you know, get the final laugh against Simeone, especially when you have to witness so many things on the sidelines. But yeah, Farooq, do you want to take a stab at the history of our club? I mean, I'm always weak in our history, and, you know, I'm not the oldest person here. Neither are you, but would you like to take a stab at it?
Nah, I think you know that's a discussion that can be have another time. But I think it's quite interesting, you know, the history of just not the name of Bilbao, and also the philosophy that they have. You know, I think Aitor knows better, like, about, you know, the fact that they only play players from, you know, the Basque region and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a kind of a self-limiting, I would say, approach. But we can see the success they've had, especially, you know, in the Cup. And, you know, let's not forget, like, even in the past, they've been, you know, to Europa League finals and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's a team that has a lot of, you know, very, very strong success to back up the history, albeit something unconventional, but it's something that seems to work for them, and yeah, very, very proud
and,
about it.
And you want to know why it happened? So the club was formed. So Bilbao in those days was very big on the industry, like steel, shipbuilding, mining industry, and all that industry was brought over by the British. And it was the British who, when football started back in England in those days, they got together to play football. And they would play football. Every single player of the team were English. Yeah? Okay. And they were English people who knew about the game, English people who had never played the game before. They would always win. And they would say, you know, so you're cheating because you guys are English. We've never heard about this game. You know how to kick a ball. We don't. And then they say, okay, fair enough. So from now on, we're only going to play with the Basque people, and we're going to still beat you. And that's how it started. So yes, that's how the philosophy started at the very early days of the club. And Mr. Penland, the name of our Peña, was the first coach, the first manager that we had.
Oh, wow. Okay. So has it always been easy to find a pool of talent from Bilbao or just from other Basque places? Or have you guys struggled at certain points?
The simple answer is no. It hasn't been always easy. We have always been, maybe some people would argue otherwise, but we have always been the biggest club in the Basque Country. So, and the one with the most money. So we've always been able to source players from the whole of the Basque Country, which includes southern France. But mainly, like 80-90% of our players are homegrown. They go through the football school in Lezama. And, you know, we always have to depend on the next generation of players. It could well be that nowadays we've got most of our players are homegrown and they are very talented and we have a good, very decent coach. But especially the years since we won the last trophy, is last cup in 1984, and now we have been struggling, sometimes closer to the bottom than to the top. But it's just a case of, you know, maybe our machine of our factory of players cannot produce a central midfielder or an attacker, or and then you struggle. We always tend to produce extremely good goalkeepers. We have inundated the league of goalkeepers brought in the summer. But yeah, answering to your question, it hasn't always been easy. We have, you know, I remember I think maybe about 20 years ago, that we were very, very close to relegation. I remember flying down to Santander, we were playing Racing, and it was a must win game, and we won 1-0. Uthaith scored, and then we also played in La Coruña, but basically two teams that are no longer in the top divisions. But so it was like we had to win like three games from the last four to stay up, and we managed to do that. But usually we are sort of like top half of the table rather than bottom half.
Okay. Farouk, you seem to have a crazy lady over in the background just laughing away.
Really? I actually didn't notice that.
Okay. Anyways, I there seems to be a little echo also. So when you're not speaking, you know, just try to mute. But yeah, you're good.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, man. Okay, Ettore, let's, you know, enough with the history and stuff. Let's get back to reality, you know. We both of our teams have, you know, very important games coming up. This is probably just a warm-up before those games. So in terms of your players, who are you expecting to actually start and who are you actually expecting to rest?
Okay, that's a very good question. Okay, so if we start at goal, usually for the league, we play Unai Simon. And for the cup, we play, so it's either Unai Simón in the league and Agirrezabalaga plays in the cup. So usually we'll play Unai Simón on Sunday, but it has been a few cases where if we have a game just before the cup, just to give Arrizabalaga more minutes, we play him instead. So it could be one or the other. And then for the rest of the team, some people were discussing, okay, well, do we want to give 2 weeks rest or 3 weeks rest after internationals to our key players? Or do we want them to play? I think it would be a combination of both. I think all our key players need some game time, maybe excepting the ones that played with Spain last week. But at the same time, nobody wants to risk an injury before the biggest game of the season, or possibly the biggest game in the last 3 years. So I assume that key players like Nico or like Iñaki may not play a full game. So if they start, they'll be changed after 1 hour, or if they don't start, they will just play the last 20 minutes or half an hour or something like that.
I just wanted to touch upon Unai Simon. Even in the international break, the game against Brazil, he had a brain fart and he passed the ball right to Rodrigo, and Rodrigo was able to pretty much tap it in. And we've been used to seeing a lot of mistakes from him in the national team. Is that the case with you guys too, or is he usually very dependable?
Well, you ask the Athletic supporters, and most of them will say that he's our best player. Two exceptionally good goalkeepers. And yes, anybody can have a brain fart. Anybody can have a bad day at work one day. But, he may do that one mistake, but he's good. He's exceptionally good goalkeeper. And people all over Europe are trying to get him. But so far, he's staying loyal to the club.
Absolutely.
So, yes, yeah, mistakes can happen. Still, we quite love him.
Okay, yeah. I mean, speaking about other European clubs coming to get him, Nico Williams has, you know, set this season on fire.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the difference is previous seasons he has shown flashes of brilliance, but he hasn't really been productive. He's been pretty wasteful. But then this season, I think he has, 9-10 assists in the league already and a few goals as well. So how has he actually improved? Was that due to tactics or him just maturing?
I think he's just maturing, and I think the fact that he's playing with his brother helps him a lot. They have a good, very good connection. Sometimes Nico plays from the left and Iñaki plays from the right, or they can change the other way around. So he's played over 100 games for us, and he's still very young. He's only 21 years old. He's got a very bright future ahead of him. I think he's more like winger than a striker. I think he's got very good quality. He's got a fantastic speed. He can dribble, and he's got a very good cross, and he can score goals as well. So his market price is something like 50 million, which for a player of his quality is a pretty good value for money. He's scored so far six goals this season and 12 assists. So not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. And so I remember every time we face Athletic Club, I've never been really afraid of Iñaki Williams. But this season, has he actually improved his finishing? Because I know like he can get into those positions, but he's never managed to actually finish and, you know, hurt Real Madrid.
He sort of blows hot on calls sometimes. I think he beat the record of the most successive games played for the club. He's been with us 10 seasons, played over 400 games. He's one of those players that misses easy goals and scores impossible goals. This season has been not bad for him. He's played 30 games, he's scored 11 goals, 5 assists. Recently we have missed having a proper nine, proper striker. And Iñaki is doing better playing from the wing than playing as a nine. So maybe that's why a bit of a less responsibility is helping him a bit more.
Absolutely. And Farouk, I just wanted to ask, the first time we faced up, in the first leg of this La Liga campaign, we faced them in the first match of the season, and it was such an easy game. We absolutely walked over them, and that was such a strange thing to see. It was such a strange thing to see. We've always been used to such harsh, and, you know, it's always a difficult game of football, but that was easy. Do you expect the same this time around?
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking at the rest of the league, this is possibly the hardest game that Real Madrid have to play from now till the end.
We still have to face Barcelona. Do you think you guys are going to be more difficult than Barcelona?
Where are you playing them, home or away?
It's home.
Home. Barcelona have always also, this hasn't been their season. They've been playing hot and cold. The manager has already resigned. I think there's too much pressure on them. I think teams like Real Madrid or Barcelona that you are expected to win every single game you play, and then you lose two games in a row and then it's crisis, you have to sack the coach and nothing is working and the referees hate you. And so for us, that are sort of like in a more modest teams, we win a game. Doesn't matter if you won again against Cadiz or Villarreal or whoever, it's fantastic news. It's not, even when we are expected to win, we do celebrate with a good win.
Okay.
So I do feel for you that supporting Real Madrid, you know, all you always have to win, and if you don't win, it's a big, big disaster. We're happy when we win. We're also happy when we draw and when we lose. You know, we'll still looking forward to the next game.
Absolutely. A positive attitude, you know, but most Real Madrid fans, including me, we don't have that. We just have to win every single game. just to wrap this up, Guruzeta for you has been immense this season. He's been very clinical in front of goal.
It is. You know, we had this other striker called Villalibre, and he was, when he was playing for our second team in the lower division, he was scoring goals like nobody's business. And then he got promoted to the top team, and it's not quite the same. But Guruceta was very good when he was playing for our what we call Bilbao Athletic, our second team, and he's carrying on the form, playing for the first team. So I'm not sure he's like, he doesn't have the body of a proper number nine, but you know, if he gets good crosses from the both Williams brothers, or he will be. He's actually been being pretty good. Quite happy with his performance. Let me see how many goals he's got. I'm just cheating here.
Probably 16 or something.
15 goals of course for the club. So yeah, not a bad season at all.
Absolutely, and I don't think
previous years nobody went into double figures.
That speaks for itself, I guess. The biggest positive I see out of this form from Guruceta is that, both of Williams brothers can play on the wing instead of, you know, forcing them to become a striker or something, which I know Iñaki does not excel at.
Yeah, and then we have just signed this kid, 16, 17-year-old kid, that is looks very promising. He played for the Basque team, for Euskadi, but the sort of national team for the Basque region, and he scored, and he's grew up playing football in the Basque country, then moved away to play in Portugal, and he's come back and looks like a very promising attacker.
There's definitely a chance for our defense to, you know, be leaky, and there's reason to worry. But before we head into the Real Madrid lineups, let's take a quick ad break. And when we come back, we'll go through the lineups. You know, there are a few players missing, a couple of players coming back from injury. And of course, we'll do a bit of predictions as well. And take it over, Doris.
Wonderful.
Hola Madridistas, I'm back once again to remind you guys that we're partnered up with Manscaped, and if you want to help and support this project and this little family of ours, be sure to check out Manscaped and use code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. So 2024 is in full swing, we're already a month in, and if you had any New Year's resolutions to look better, you know, feel better, I have a company called Manscaped. They're trusted by more than 10 million men worldwide, and if you want to take a positive step, you know, in a good direction this year, start with yourself. And Manscaped asked us to introduce you guys to the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's a hair trimmer, you know, for your sensitive bits. It features skin safe technology, you know, to keep your sensitive bits safe. It has an LED bright, it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower. You get two extra blade heads to go either full smooth or a normal blade head. If you want to go all in, you can get the whole package. You get a nose trimmer, you get crop preserver, it's a ball deodorant, you get some aftershave, and in the box you also get some boxers and a bag, you know, to keep all of those things in. So yeah, if you're interested, go to manscaped.com, use code LBR20 to get 20% off at checkout and free shipping. That's LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And thank you guys, and back to the video.
So
we're back live. Faruqi, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask Aitor. I was going to say, like, you actually touched upon the fact that, you know, the history of your club with the, you know, the Copa and all that. So I was just wondering, like, you guys are in a very, you know, unique position. Like, I mean, this is something that's not happened before in the past, where, like, there's a possibility of having five teams in the UCL next year. And right now you guys are fourth. I think you guys are 8 points or 6 points away from Barcelona in second.
Yeah,
like, there is a real possibility there for you guys to actually, you know, make the Champions League. You understand? I don't know, like what
we are fourth at the moment. One more point than Atletico Madrid, who's fifth. And then we are sort of two victories a game from Girona and 8 points away from Barcelona. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. You know, it could well be that we, you know, I think we've only lost one game this season. This year against Betis recently. So we are in a good run. I think, like, if we don't lose against Real Madrid, if we win the cup, we'll just take that form to the rest of the season and then we can do well. Unless, obviously, we get completely drunk celebrating the cup and then we don't win any more games. I'm sure that Valverde will sort of try and motivate the guys, whether we win or we lose the cup, and just try and make that fourth spot ours, or even third. The Girona is now on the downward trend. So the thing that lost the last three games, I think they did. If they keep on that trend, you know, we'll catch them in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, actually, that was actually the next question I was going to post to you, is that, you know, if like a team of your stature, you know, the point is that when you win, if you guys are able to, you know, get over the line and win the Copa, you know, like, can that kind of be like a sort of motivation or a boss killer, such that they'd be like, we've done our part, and like, you know, even the Europa League is
I think when you're used to winning every week, you carry on that form. I think if we were to lose the cup, I think that could be main psychological shock. I think we should be like very strong favorites against Mallorca. We've got thousands of supporters, including myself, going to Seville without a ticket just for the chance of supporting the team somehow. I think losing the cup, I'm going to touch wood, could be a Jekyll and Hyde moment for us, and then from then on we could just go in a downward spiral. But let's see how it goes. Let's take one game at a time. Let's talk about Real Madrid first, and then we'll see what next week brings.
Yeah, but then that begs the question. Now, you actually mentioned a very good thing. You know, it's about the run of form, right? So like, now you have a big game, you understand, which is basically a final, and then you have a game against Real Madrid as well. So like, I kind of feel like it's like, you know, you weigh the pros and the cons, and you kind of feel like, okay, which is the, you know, the lesser of the two evils. I don't know. What do you think of how the
team? Well, if you say, okay, you can only win one game, you can only win this week or next week, I'd say 100% next week. Real Madrid can get the 3 points. We'll wrap it in a bow. There you go. 3 points for you. Let us win next week. That is definite. Yeah. But I think we will aim at next week better, with getting something out of the Bernabeu than with a bad defeat. So we'll be in better spirits.
What about you, Jacob? What do you think? Because we also have the whole, you know, almighty game the after this game. So I don't know what's your take about that as well.
I think we have enough time to recover from this game and in time for Man City. So I'm going to be watching for our strongest lineups, the maximum effort, so that we can get into gear, especially after a bit of break. We don't want to lose our momentum that we've built all season just by giving the players rest or by taking it easy. So definitely go full throttle, put in a convincing performance so that we can be confident for the City game.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And actually, you know, back to the question you were asking me earlier about, you know, the first game of the season, maybe Aitor also will attend to that, was that it was a really shocking game because, you know, Real Madrid didn't play literally and we won the game. We didn't win because we did anything. We won because literally, like, you know, Bilbao were nowhere to be found. It was quite surprising because I know always when we go to the San Mamés, it's always, you know, a very, very daunting task. So the first game was quite, you know, strange for me as, you know, because of the form they're in right now, the position they find themselves in the league, I think it's going to be much more, a much more tightly contested game. And I think they're going to bring the game as well. As interesting, like getting a point or even, you know, a draw or 3 points from the Bernabeu is the perfect, you know, boost that they require before their final.
Definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely. I guess let's talk about the Real Madrid lineups, you know. I'm going to lay it out, the facts. Camavinga, he had a minor ankle sprain, but he's expected to be back for the game. Jude Bellingham is back from his suspension. But of course, when we get one, we have to lose one. Vinicius is out, suspended from his, you know, antics over at the Osasuna game. So yeah, I guess that leaves. We also have a couple of returnees from long-term injuries. So Militao is back. Courtois is expected to be back in the lineup as well. In the squad, but not the lineup. So Farouk, take it away, man. I feel like you can probably guess half of our team.
Courtois is expected to be back in the squad. Isn't that still far away, though?
No. So Ancelotti said both Militao and Courtois, they're expected to be back after the international break. But yeah, we have to see the squad that's going to be listed soon for the confirmation.
Okay, that's great. Because I remember, like, we had the situation where Thibaut was injured for, I think, was it 6 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that. Wow, time has flown indeed. Or anyways, the thing is, I think for this game, it's not a game that anyways you can count on Thibaut for. And I think, you know, that break that you mentioned, that the time that we have between this game and the next game is going to be crucial to see, you know, how Thibaut responds or doesn't respond. I think the more interesting option would be what happens with, you know, Militao, honestly, because I think that might be a more, you know, that might be something more, because like I feel like maybe Thibaut might be back in some shape or form. But do you want to throw Militao into the deep end after he's been out for 6 months, 8 months, you know, against arguably the, you know, best offensive machine you have in Europe? So that's something that's left, you know, open for debates. But yeah, as you said, you know, like the lineup basically picks itself. It's like, you know, we know Andre Lunin is going to be there. There is no, you know, a doubt about that. And I think also we should see Carvalho as well. If everything goes well, I think also Mendy should be on the left side as well. So I think the question now becomes, how does the centre back pairing look like? So I don't know if you have any opinion on that. Or
yeah, I just wanted to. I know this is not the Man City preview, but I want to touch upon it. So we know Nacho hasn't been the greatest this season. We have to face off against the likes of Haaland and whatnot. So would this be the time to actually start Tchouaméni at centre back and go with that lineup? Because if we do that, we can actually fit in Camavinga when Man City comes. And that's my thinking. What do you think, Farouk?
I think I will still go with Nacho, because I feel like you get that flexibility of having the ability to change the game. You get like when you have Camavinga on the bench, it's, you know, it can be like your ace card basically. So like if you see the first half, you know, like the first 30, 40 minutes hasn't gone according to, you know, what you expect. So, you know, you can always have that ace at halftime and just, you know, push Tchouaméni a bit deeper and, you know, bring on Camavinga or something like that. You know, that's the thing. I feel like it might be important to have Camavinga as an option in this game, because I feel he has the ability to change the game. And not just even that, maybe it works well even with Nacho, but it doesn't work well with Mendy, you know. So you have that option of you also like taking out Mendy and bringing on Camavinga as well. So I feel like having him as an option is something that's it's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's certainly a really good option that we've always used in the past as well. Bringing Camavinga on, replace Mendy, you know, get our attacks going. But yeah, I'm just worried about the form of Nacho, man. And if we have to face off against like a huge guy like Haaland, he's certainly going to help. But yeah, let's.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, actually. You know, like while I understand your fear, actually, like in the lead up to the game, I've always just, you know, been of the idea that, you know, Nacho has always shown up when he has been needed, you understand? So I kind of feel like, yeah, of course, his form is not the greatest, honestly, so far. But I do feel like, you know, going on the past history, you know, when he has been called upon in tight situations and really important moments, like, you know, he has really stepped up. And I want to count on that as well again, you know, because there is no bigger game for Real Madrid than the Champions League. So I believe that, you know, that anthem will reawaken something in him.
Absolutely. I guess, so when we look at the midfield, it's going to be Tchouaméni, Valverde, Cruz, and Bellingham are strongest midfield this season.
Yeah, I think that's just it. I think there is nothing to add or subtract there, because yeah, these are the guys. And as you said, you know, like we want to, you know, get that rhythm going again. So you just put the best 11 you have out there, and you know, make sure that they're back to their best.
Absolutely.
I saw Bellingham playing for England against well, both against Brazil and then Belgium in the last few days. He had a really very good game against Belgium. He scored equalizer in the end. So yeah, he did well. Good player. You've got I think possibly you've got the best player going around the world, Bellingham now.
Yeah, definitely. If he can actually go for a deep run in the Champions League, win La Liga, you know, and he does well in the Euros, he has a shout out for, you know, the Ballon d'Or standings at least.
From what I hear, he's a very nice guy as well.
He's the best.
He was, you know, they were in the sort of like when they go into the pit, and they go with all the mascots. Very heavy rain in London. So I'm bending and took his coat off and gave it to the little boy ahead of him and said, oh, you know, just cover yourself from the rain, lad. You know, I'm going to get wet anyway. Yeah. No, good chap. Good chap.
Absolutely.
Let's see if Guardiola doesn't sneak it away from you in the next couple of years.
Yeah. I don't think he's leaving. That would be a shock for everyone. Yeah. But yeah, I guess just to wrap up our lineups, Vinicius is going to be missing. Rodrigo definitely has to start. Who's going to be up top with him, Farouk? Is it going to be Joselu as a surprise start or probably the usual Brahim?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Diaz as well. I think it's going to be Brahim Diaz. You know, it's a home game, I think. So if you want to have that, you know, fluidity, that Brahim gives you, that combination that Brahim gives you. And I think as we've spoken in the past, like, you know, I feel like Brahim works best when he plays with either of them, not the both of them. So I think we're going to see, you know, again, some really good performance. And I think like Brahim has just put himself in that position that when someone is out, he's the next option, you know, honestly. Joselu has been good. Like, let's not take that away. Like, he's got a significant amount of goals. Like, I think 15 goals or how many is it? I can't remember how many goals he has in total. But anyways, like, he's done his part as well. But I just think, like, you know, Diaz is going to get the nod ahead of Joselu with this game.
Fair enough, yeah. I can't say anything else. The thing is, maybe for this game, I know Athletic Club, they aren't, like, the strongest in defense. So I think maybe just a really early showing from Joselu, if he can't manage to score until then, is going to really help us.
Yeah, that's actually quite true as well. That's true, you know, so it's something as well. But actually, I feel like also, like, you know, we want to get as much people into the form, you know, we want to get as much people running and going against City because we never can know how the game will turn against City and you need to have, you know, the different outlets. And that's the good thing we have, you know, the difference we have right now and is that, okay, like, yeah, like Brahim is not the world beater or like Joselu is not the best out there, but like they give us the different options, you know, like when Brahim is there, he gives you stuff that you do not get from either Rodrigo or Vini. And like, but yeah, of course, we know that Joselu is the only natural number nine in the team. So that even makes it even much more, you know, better in terms of the difference in what you get from the players. Just so it's a question of the quality you get. So, you know, if we can have a party at the Bernabeu at the weekend, I think it's going to be really great to, you know, to have all the players, you know, in good spirits before we go to the game.
100%. Itori, like, do you want to actually run us through your lineups quickly?
Okay, so I'm going to say for goal, we're possibly going to go with Unai Simon, although I wouldn't be surprised if we find Agrizabala instead, just for him to have some practice before the cup next week. Central defenders, possibly Yeray and Vivian, although Vivian played for Spain the other day. I'm not sure whether he got a knock. Fullbacks in the wings, Lecque on the left and Marcos on the right. I think Yuri is got a bit of an injury at the moment. Sort of the two ahead of the defense, possibly Ruiz de Galarreta and Prados. They're both very young players, but we've got Ander Herrera injured. Try and put Vesga in there. There's a chance to have a more experienced player playing against a club like Real Madrid. But I'm going to go for Garrett and Prados there as the two holding fielders. And ahead of them, Sunset in the middle. And sort of the left wing, Nico Williams, right wing, Iñaki Williams, and Guruceta as the lone striker. That's you know, that's usually the lineup that we normally have. I know we've got a couple of people like Yuri injured. But yeah, so I think that's the possibly the lineup that he'll start with. And then if we're still in the game after 1 hour, he could just see how it goes. But if we are 2 goals down after 20 minutes, he will probably take the Williams brothers off and say, okay, well, just have a rest. Let's get ready for next week.
Yeah, totally understandable. I guess that wraps it up for this preview. But yeah, let's do predictions, guys. Let's go with you, Itore. What do you think the scoreline is going to be? Let's have a prediction for the cup final as well, seeing as that's relevant.
Okay. Right. So this Sunday, I'm going to go for 1-0. Happy with that. Safe hands. Good for both. Nobody wants a disaster. And now for next week in the final, well, you know, I've been to 3 finals. I've seen them lose all 3 finals.
Are you going to this final?
Pardon?
Are you going to this final as well?
I am. Well, I don't have a ticket yet, but if I'm traveling to, I'm flying to Seville from London just to be there. And if I've got a chance of getting tickets for the final, I will. But so far, I'm going, but without a ticket. And so for the final, I'm just going to say 2-0 Athletic against Mallorca.
Yeah, definitely a safe prediction. Farouk, let's go with you, man. Next.
Yeah, I totally agree with Ato for the 2-0 victory for Athletic against Mallorca. But I think it's going to be, you know, a chastening game again at the Bernabeu. I think we're going to go for a 3-1 victory for Real Madrid.
3-1, yeah. Do you think Rodrigo is actually going to score? He scored against Spain. He broke his goal-scoring drought.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope for our sakes. I really do hope, you know, Rodrigo gets back in goal-scoring form. I hope we can, you know, get in there. And I think with the absence of Vinicius also, you know, increases the responsibilities and also reduces that. Because one thing we've seen is that Rodrigo is trying so hard to be a facilitator for the team as well, you know. So I think that the absence of Vinicius means that he is the one who has to, you know, be facilitated for. So basically, he's going to be the one on the receiving end and a lot of things. So I hope that, you know, that will help him break his, you know, his deadlock.
Absolutely, same. I think it's going to be a bit more of a close victory for us. Maybe a 1-0. I feel like the defense are really going to show up, be serious, because, you know, they have to have a good performance before they face off against Man City. So 1-0 victory for me, and the winner is going to be scored by Bellingham. He's going to be back and he's going to be scored.
Oh, great.
So when are you going to have the stadium finished?
Sorry,
Bernabeu, when is it going to be finished?
I think it should be done in the summer, but actually, you know, there's always delays with the construction issues and all that. But like,
we build a new stadium, then it was Real Sociedad building the stadium. Now you guys build the stadium, then Barcelona built their own stadium. We started the trend of modern stadiums.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be completed pretty soon because we're going to be hosting Taylor Swift. There are a couple more concerts also planned in the summer. Okay. So it's going to be finished quite fast. And Ito, have you actually been to the Bernabeu? And how was your experience?
I have, yes. Many, many years ago. I think maybe about 25 years ago. That's how old I am. Obviously, you know, when you go there with your bad flag and the Madrid supporters go there with the Spanish flag, there's always a bit of, it's not just sport rivalries, there's also political as well. But I have been better treated in Real Madrid than in Atletico Madrid or than in Racing Santander or some other grounds around Spain. And I think, even though we are the opposites of the political spectrum, there's always been some kind of respect between both clubs. We had a number of players from Athletic that went to Real Madrid, like Aitor Caranca or Rafael Gorta, or now you've got one of our previous goalkeepers. And And there's always been some, you know, there's two senior clubs that don't go bullshitting around. They know they are professional. They know how to run a club. And so back to your question, my experience was, yes, it's a big stadium. It still was the biggest stadium before all the works that are going on now. And nice, impressive in the middle of the city, which is quite unusual nowadays. So I have been treated fairly, I don't know, I have to say. I don't think I could say the same thing about your neighbors from Atletico.
You never. Yeah, but yeah, man, it's really good to know the people of Madrid are welcoming, visiting fans. With that, let's wrap this up. It's been a pleasure having you on. And we're going to be having the links to the Peña and whatnot, even Aitor's socials as well, once we get that. So look, check out those links, guys. And, you know, if you want to actually join, you don't even have to speak Basque. You're free to join the Peña if you're interested. Anyways, and thanks to our partners over at Real Madrid Committee as well for their awesome support. And check out our clips out on Instagram. So we're going to be hosting them at the Bernabeu, and Sid is going to be right outside the Bernabeu asking the fans questions on what happened in the game. And with that, you know what to say, Farouk.
Hala Madrid. Hala Madrid.
Apathetic.
Thank you.